Hello and welcome to the study today. I hope you're having a great day. This is a wonderful time to be alive, to be under the authority of God, to have His Word, to be able to be in His church, to have all of these blessings of the hope of heaven and salvation through Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing to be a Christian. If you're not a Christian, we hope that you'll become one very, very soon. And do not delay and put that off, because it is very important. Now today, we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ as our high priest. And we learn that from Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Jesus is many things. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our brother. He is our master, but He's also our high priest. Do you know what a high priest is, by the way? Do you know why you have a high priest? Why did God set up a high priest for us? What is the purpose of a high priest? All of these are very important. You didn't even know you needed a high priest, and yet God has given you one. God has given you a Savior. God has given you a King. God has given you an advocate in heaven to represent you there. Now, we have a great high priest. Notice Hebrews 4 and verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Don't give up the Christian life. Hold fast to it. If you're not a Christian, we hope and pray that very soon you will become one, so that Jesus can be your high priest. It goes on to say this in Hebrews 4 and 15. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." We have a high priest. He's in heaven. He is a sinless high priest. But notice in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain help and find grace to help in time of need." Now we are told some reasons why we have a high priest. Now, He is in heaven, and we need to understand this more clearly, and that's why we're going to discuss the matter of Christ being our high priest. He is a great high priest. He is a unique high priest. He is better than Aaron, because Aaron never sat on the right hand of God in heaven, but Jesus has. He's a different kind of high priest than Aaron was. But still, there's the likenesses of the high priest there. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, it says, "So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made a high priest, but He said unto Him, Thou art My Son, today I have begotten thee. As He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." Now those are two verses from the book of Psalms. The first one is Psalm 2 and 7. "Today I have begotten thee, thou art my son." And then in Psalm 110, verse 4, it says, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So he just quoted two Old Testament passages about Christ being a high priest. This is a beautiful subject, and I hope that we can understand more about Christ being a high priest as we go through this study. Now in Hebrews 5, verses 10 through 14, he says, "Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." And so we need to have some knowledge and some background in order to understand this great subject. He says, as we continue to read in Hebrews 5, verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Now, some are not grounded enough to grasp the depth of the meaning of the high priest. Certainly the Melchizedek aspect of his being a high priest. But what is a high priest? What are his duties? What is Christ doing as a high priest? Well, the idea of a high priest starts in the Old Testament. And there was, first of all, the Melchizedek high priest. We read about him in Genesis chapter 13. But Melchizedek is not only a priest, but he is a king. Notice in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. That's recorded in Genesis 13. Abraham met Melchizedek. He had defeated a king. And on his way back after the victory, he meets with Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is a king of righteousness. After that, also king of Salem, which is the king of peace. And so Christ is a high priest after that order. He's a king. Aaron was not a king. He's never sat on the throne. Aaron was from the tribe of Levi. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. And Christ is seated in heaven. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And so Christ is a priest, but he's sitting in heaven. And here are the duties of the high priest. Notice Hebrews 8 and verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. The true tabernacle is the church. And Christ is the high priest of the church. And here are his duties. Verse 3 of Hebrews 8. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, and serve unto the example of the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, this is God. He said this to Moses, see that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. And so our idea and our understanding of a high priest goes back to the Old Testament. First of all, to Melchizedek. Second of all, to Aaron, who was the tribe of Levi. Now, what is the high priest for? Well, he's a minister of the sanctuary. Well, what does he do? He offers gifts and sacrifices for the people. He works for the people. He is doing the will, things that are good for the people, in the tabernacle, in the sanctuary. Of course, Christ is in the Holy of Holies. He's in heaven. He's in the true sanctuary. That sanctuary is in heaven. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, we begin in verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. That's not the holy place we're talking about. Not the one made by stone in Jerusalem in the temple. What are they? They are figures of the true. Where is Christ now? But in heaven itself, now appear in the presence of God for us. What do we need? We need someone to appear in the presence of God for us. That's why he's a high priest. He's a high priest because he's gone into the Holy of Holies. Verse 25 of Hebrews 10 says, nor yet that he should offer himself often As the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Now, that was in the Old Testament. They entered into the Holy of Holies with blood, but it wasn't their blood, it was the blood of others. Christ is now in the true tabernacle, the true Holy of Holies. How did he enter there, and what did he do for us? He entered there by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 26 of Hebrews 9 says, "For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So we're talking about you and I having a high priest. That person is Christ. He's not a high priest like Aaron was. He's a high priest like Melchizedek. Well, what was the difference? Well, Melchizedek was a king. And so we'll have more to say about Melchizedek when we get to Hebrews chapter 7. But we go back to the Old Testament to learn about a high priest. Furthermore, the high priest not only had duties, but he had clothing. I want to talk about the high priest's clothing for a moment. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 28. And this is when Moses received the pattern for the clothing of the high priest. He says in Exodus 28, "And take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel," this is God selecting them, "that he may minister unto me in the priest office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar," Aaron's sons. "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron and for and thy brother for glory and beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to concentrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest office." And so we've learned that the priest is someone who is in the holy place, Holy of Holies. He has the duty to minister gifts and sacrifices. But he also must wear the holy garments. And that's what Jesus did. His garments weren't physical, his garments were spiritual. Christ had on holy garments. The Old Testament priest had on holy garments. That's how it's stated here. But let's go on and read in Exodus 28. It says in verse 4, "And these are the garments which thou shalt make, a breastplate and an ephod and a robe and a broided coat, a mitre," that's a headpiece, "and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest office." So he has to have the right garments on in order to minister unto God. And so the high priest has duties. He goes into the holy place, and there he offers sacrifices for the people and gives gifts for the people. But he also has to have on the holy garments. And on this holy garment, it says that he is to have a girdle of the ephod, which is upon it. It shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even gold of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. This is Exodus 28, now verse 9. "Thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone and the other six names on the rest, on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold." And so, when the high priest put on his garments, He had the names of the children of Israel. He represented them. Now they make these garments and they put them on Aaron and put them on his sons. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful, beautiful garments. And in the book of Leviticus, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12, they anoint Aaron to be the high priest. He has scented ointment and they pour it upon him to anoint him. You know, the Bible brings that up in Psalm 133 in verses 1 and following. It says how beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's as lovely and as sweet as the oil that ran down upon Aaron's beard. It's beautiful. The garments were special. The garments were holy. The garments were beautiful and wonderful. Well, Jesus had on a beautiful garment. It was holy, all right, because he was sinless. Hebrews 4 and 15, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. When he was reviled, the Bible said, he reviled not again. He was a person who had not committed even one sin. His garments were spotless. He was blameless. Even Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. And Pilate said on three occasions, I find no fault in him. So Jesus is our priest, but he's also a king, and he's in heaven. And he's there to help mankind. He's there to be a mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. What does a high priest do? He's a mediator. And then 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, these things write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, someone to come alongside of him. When we sin, we have an advocate. He comes on to our side, and he represents us in heaven. And we are not to sin, but when we do sin, we have somebody to stand in for us and to stand with us and to mediate between God and man. He's the perfect mediator because he is man. He's called the Son of Man because he was born of Eve. But he's also called the Son of God. He is the Son of Man and he's the Son of God. He is man and he is God. And he's our perfect mediator. He can represent man before God. And God provides for us the things that we need, even when we don't know that we need them. And so what does God provide for us? Well, a Savior. He provides a king. He provides a master. But he also provides a high priest. We need that. We need a representative in heaven. We have that. And he can sympathize with us. We do not have a high priest in heaven which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. No, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Well, how is that? Well, he was tempted in all points like as we are. That's his human side and his experience. Hebrews 9 and 24 says he is to appear in heaven for us. He's to appear there. Now, Hebrews 10 and verse number 12, read this passage with me. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant which I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, and I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. We have the full assurance Hebrews 10 and 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy, into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The veil of the temple was ripped open. His flesh was ripped open. And there he opened the way to heaven. That's why we can come before the throne of grace and to find mercy and favor to help us. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we have a full assurance. We have a high priest in heaven. He's a man, and he's God. And he was chosen of God to represent us there. Hebrews 5 and 4, God chose Aaron. Hebrews 5 and 5, God chose his son to be born of a virgin. Christ didn't choose this to glorify himself. No, he was appointed that by his father. Hebrews 5 and 7, I want to read that with you if you have your Bibles open, where we are told that while he was on the earth and in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that is able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Christ was heard of God when he prayed, and he was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, Hebrews 5 and 8, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. He was made complete by his obedience to suffer for us. Isn't that beautiful? He obeyed God to serve, to save us. Now we must obey him to be saved. Obedience to God's will must take place in our lives. We must obey God. Now, see, Jesus is the high priest, but you know what? We are priests too. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we're a royal priesthood. And in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, we are a priest to serve God and to offer up sacrifices of praise to him. Let's be happy to have a wonderful, loving, caring high priest like Jesus Christ. Jesus is a compassionate high priest. Jesus is holy. He's wearing the holy garments of purity. He is our representative in heaven. He is there to prepare us a place, as he said in John 14, 1 through 3. He's there to prepare us a place so that we can live forever with God. He's representing us in heaven. We have a high priest in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. He's not a priest after the order of Aaron from the tribe of Judah. I'm sorry, from the tribe of Levi. He is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's a priest and he is a king. We are thankful for God setting in heaven a representative for us, an advocate, a mediator. What a blessing. God thinks of every single thing. We're thankful for that. I hope our study about Christ being our high priest to represent us in heaven, to offer gifts and sacrifices for us, I hope that means something to us. God wants you to have everything possible. He wants you to have everything necessary in order to be saved, and he's provided these wonderful things. Thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope and pray you have a great and wonderful rest of the day. I hope you'll read and study the book of Hebrews more and more. It is a powerful and wonderful and intriguing book. Thank you for your time today, and may God continue to bless you as you study and seek His will.